It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I hope you all had a great 4th of July and you're having a wonderful 4th of July close out of the weekend. Story recently in the Chicago Tribune was about the plovers at Montrose Beach, which many of you have read about, heard about. They're trying to restore piping plovers to the Chicago beaches where, of course, in historic times, there were lots of them. So why am I talking about this morning? Because we are naming animals, in this case, birds. We're giving them birds. The headline is, in a historic experiment, four piping plover chicks, grandchildren of Monty and Rose, hatch at Montrose Beach. I'm afraid that what we do when we try to humanize birds and try to give them names, not only give them names, but when we try to assign sort of values to them, we lose touch of the fact that this is nature. And nature is not kind. Nature is cruel. And we have been protecting these piping plover from predators, which otherwise would make sure that they don't hatch any young. And in fact, they would probably disappear. So in our love of birds and other animals, we try to humanize them. And that's a very dangerous path because animals are not humans. Birds are not humans. So four piping plover chicks were hatched recently at Montrose Beach, marking a milestone in conservation efforts across the Great Lakes region, the article went on to say. Then it went on to talk about the first egg hatched of the four was laid by piping plover Sea Rocket, who was captive reared and released into the wild at Montrose Beach last summer. Later that day, two more hatchlings occurred, and they now have names. So I just think that we ought to recognize that birds are not like people. They're not pets. They don't have names, and they're going to fly away, and they're going to run into all kinds of natural predators, and they're going to likely get killed. So Monty and Rose, who garnered local support and fame years ago, Monty died in Montrose Beach in 2022, and the article is going to say, waiting for Rose to return from Florida where she wintered. Well, Rose had good company in Florida because that's where most people can get out of Illinois in the winter go. But I would just say we should be careful. It's great that we've got piping plovers. It's great that bald eagles have come back. We have rehabilitated so many species that were in real trouble, whooping cranes, etc. But giving them names and thinking that they behave like humans, that's a mistake. Anyway, enough on that. Let me go back to something that I did want to talk about to do with the 4th of July weekend. And that is, for those of you who are on boats or in state parks or places where you might have interacted with law enforcement officials, I have a question and a thought. The question is, when did we lose control and when did we change game wardens into basically people who just write tickets and are looking for fault instead of being there to help you solve your problems? This didn't happen recently. It's been evolving, and part of it could be across America when, in the case of Illinois, game wardens actually came under the state police. So they're fully weaponized, and I have many friends that are game wardens. So I'm not picking on game wardens here, but I'm offering a question mark. For those of you who may have been on the Chain of Lakes or on the Mississippi or wherever you might have been boating, Wisconsin, Lake Geneva, wherever you're listening and you were boating over the 4th of July weekend, did you feel that basically the law enforcement officers you saw out on the water were there to help you? Or were they there to write tickets and punish people? I had a personal situation, which is why I'm mentioning it. I was not in Illinois, but elsewhere. And I launched the boat with my friends, and the local sheriff, deputy sheriff, was sitting in a boat. He didn't get out of the boat. He simply yelled across to us, I'm going to do a boat inspection of your boat. We hadn't even basically put the boat in the water. So it took about 45 minutes to go through this boat, fire extinguishers, whistles, flotation cushions, everything you might need. And the guy never left the dock. And he sat there all day long, writing tickets of unsuspecting boaters, launching their boats. Some of them didn't have current registrations. In our case, the registration that had only arrived in the mail earlier in the week was not signed. That's a ticket. So we employ the game wardens and law enforcement officers. They're here to serve and protect. But when you're watching jet skiers race around a lake and act dangerously, or people have been drinking and driving boats, that's not necessarily where the law enforcement individuals are. They're sitting at the boat ramp writing perfectly innocent people tickets or taking great deal of time from people to go through their boats when the issues are out on the water. So I think maybe we ought to just pause in this kinder, gentler, if you will, sort of civil world we try to move into when we live in the outdoors. And when you launch your boat, unless you're doing something wrong, really, you should be left alone. You're out there for recreation. You're out there to enjoy, whether it's fishing or kayaking or whatever it is you're doing, or just simply having a picnic on your boat. I don't think you should be looking over your shoulder all the time. Am I going to get arrested for not having a fire extinguisher that hasn't expired? Or did I not sign my boat registration? Or am I missing a flotation cushion because the Coast Guard's changed the laws and now you have to have a throwable device? This is not in the big picture. These are not important elements. We have really important issues in conservation where there are indeed people who are nefarious and doing things that really hurt the natural resources. That's where we should be spending our time. And I think most of you probably are nodding your heads, but it really seems to me that what we should be doing is looking to our law enforcement to protect us from people who are doing things that are bad for the resources, and not be sitting there just to write tickets at boat landings, which is what many of them do. And I remember an incident a few years ago where we had been duck hunting and the gun case had fallen overboard and was completely soaked. It was a canvas gun case. And in Illinois, you're not allowed to be in a motorized craft without your gun being cased. Well, we were in a motorized craft. The guns were dry, but this one particular gun case was absolutely saturated. So we didn't put the gun in the gun case. And we arrive up at the boat landing. And, of course, with our luck, there's standing a state game warden who will remain nameless. And he immediately says, "You have committed a felony. Your gun is not cased." And we said, "Well, the case fell in the water. Absolutely soaked. The gun would have, been completely drenched by putting it in that case. The gun, not good for the shotgun to do that." And after he got through writing us about a $200 ticket for not having the gun cased, he basically said, "I don't care what condition your gun case is in. This is a law that's never to be broken. You're a felon if you have an uncased gun, et cetera, et cetera." And it just strikes me, as I said a moment ago, where do we lose control? We're the individuals who pay the salaries of the individuals who act as game wardens and who are to patrol and protect our natural resources. Where did we get to the point where now we don't have any relationship with them, and it's an adversarial relationship every time? Almost every time you interact, that they're not there to help you as much as they are to figure out a way to enhance their coffers at your expense. So that's my comment on 4th of July and all of us boating and throughout the summer. It's not going to change, but I do hope that when you interact with a law enforcement officer on the water this summer, that the law enforcement officer is more apt to be there to help you than they are to look for something you don't have, some tiny little situation that you might need, and write you a ticket that you weren't looking for. I'll be back in just a moment in the Great Outdoors. And when I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court ruling and what it means for the future of conservation. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thanks for being with me this 4th of July weekend, and I hope wherever you are, you're having a safe and wonderful 4th of July weekend. There certainly was a lot of news in the last week of the Supreme Court. Great Outdoors Show, I usually don't talk about the Supreme Court. However, the Supreme Court issued a decision that will have long-term impacts on the future of conservation. And I am not one of those who is saying the sky is falling, but it is a situation where we're going to watch some things change. And if you're an agriculturalist listening, as so many of you are, I know you're applauding what the Supreme Court did. Most conservation groups are not applauding what the Supreme Court did. I'm more of the point of view what the Supreme Court did in reining in regulations is that the quote-unquote administrative state, as some like to call it, had just become too overreaching. And I don't need to tell anyone who's in agriculture about how overreaching the EPA is or the Corps of Engineers are or the USDA can be when it comes to administrative orders that are rules that are written and then they're enforced on you. So the Supreme Court's decision where it addressed what's been long called the so-called Chevron deference, which is named for the case that established it. And under that doctrine, judges had deferred to agencies' interpretations of the authority of Congress. So Congress set up the agencies, the EPA, and it gave the EPA authority to do certain things, but not other things. And over time, all the agencies, I think it's fair to say, across the federal and state government, but for federal government in this case, have expanded their reach further and further and further with permits, with edicts. And so the Supreme Court basically said the agencies, in this case the EPA, have overreached and that they are putting in place rules and regulations that Congress did not authorize them to do. And that if Congress wanted these rules and regulations to be in place, then Congress can pass the laws, which the EPA then can enforce. This has sent shockwaves literally through the conservation community, because the conservation community for so long has been relying on administrative rules to handcuff individuals from doing things on their own property. Now that's going to change. It may still be on a case-by-case basis, but overall the Supreme Court has said unless Congress gave an agency, the EPA in this case, or the Corps of Engineers, specific authority for a specific element of property rights, then the agency does not have the right to impose those upon you. This is going to place at risk, I think, potentially lots of wetlands. That's not a good thing. We need all the wetlands we can have. But on the other hand, it is also going to enable conservation groups that do a lot of on-the-ground work, such as Ducks Unlimited, to be much more effective and more streamlined because so much of their work is hamstrung in the regulatory process. So it is a bit of a double-edged sword, but it is a huge decision on the part of the Supreme Court. And it is likely for the coming years to be tested again and again in the courts. So I think the Supreme Court clearly said the age of overreaching administrative rules by the EPA, the Corps of Engineers, and other regulatory federal agencies, the overreaching of those rules is going to come to an end. So that's the comment on that. Before I run out of time, I do want to talk a little bit about fires, which we're hearing something about more and more all the time. It's summer. But what you don't hear about with fires is you don't hear about the damage that they cause to human health. And there's going to be a lot discussed throughout the course of the summer, and I look forward to discussing it as well here, as to the changing dynamics. So much of the West was uninhabited when the Forest Service decades ago, or in this case a century ago, set up a lot of their policies. And those policies were how to manage fires, and there was absolutely no consideration given to human health because so many areas of the West, there were few humans. That has changed. And now throughout the West, there are communities that are absolutely imperiled by the damage caused by smoke, not the fires themselves. They may not be in danger of losing their houses or losing their crops, but they're in danger of not being able to breathe the air. And in the recent years, the smoke damage to certain communities in the West has been a huge economic cost, as well as a health cost. So it is likely that the Forest Service is going to begin to need to look at how do they manage human health when they consider whether to let a forest fire burn or not. Interestingly, under this administration, not a political statement, but under this administration, there is very little interest in having the Forest Service move from its longstanding position of we do not consider human health when we look at how to manage or extinguish a forest fire. We do look at the loss of property, but the Forest Service does not look at human health, which seems to be really upside down. Human health should be the first consideration that we look at when managing a forest fire or managing our forests so that we minimize forest fires. But that's not what's been taking place. So it's going to come under continued scrutiny. It should. And hopefully in the coming period of time, Congress can work with the conservation community, the timber community, everyone associated with forest products, and can come up with a solution where forest fires do not cause the kind of damage to human health that they are causing at present due to the fact that they are not, human health is not a consideration. With that, I hope you have a great week in the great outdoors. We'll be back next Sunday morning with much more. There's news on big winds in Alaska. There's also news on the Mekong Delta. I may head to Southeast Asia to talk about something there. In the meantime, be safe in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter, I'm the host of the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.